Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to goldradio.fm. Available online at housestreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to goldradio.fm, podcasting in 0.99995. I'm Jim Goddard.
My guest is Jim Willie, founder of the Hat Trick Letter online at golden-jackass.com. Jim, welcome back to goldradio.fm.
Well, good to be back, Jim. Another month, another insanity. This is perfectly stupid, crazy, evil, beyond description. We're watching a bad movie.
I think, unfortunately, we're in it. Jim, can you tell us a bit about the Hat Trick Letter and how people can sign up?
Yeah, last month I completed my 19th anniversary, or I celebrated my 19th anniversary. It's been a long road, and it's been exciting. It's been some of the most important work I've ever done. It's been enlightening. It's been full of team building. I think earned the respect of a lot of people. I've tried to minimize my errors. Rob Kirby actually helped me in 2012 to eliminate many of them, and I miss him. He was murdered. It's www.golden-jackass.com. There's the flagship newsletter. I call it the Hat Trick Letter. Doesn't really matter what its name is. It's the newsletter on the golden-jackass.com site. And I invite people to sign up for an exciting ride, for an educational experience, to open the eyes, to verify suspicions, and to stay safe. Not a single person in my extended family is sick or dead. Not one. But my college roommate, Bruce, from Blue State in the Northeast, got into an argument with me a year ago, told me I was crazy, and he's dead. So sign up for the newsletter for an exciting time, educational time, a path toward the refuge. I don't have it 100% figured out. Nobody does. There's a lot going on, and we provide a lot of guidance.
Freedom of speech is under attack worldwide, with draconian penalties turning social media into socialized media. Is this a joint effort between the Chinese Communist Party and the World Economic Forum?
I think what it's done is that the various laws have exposed which countries are run by China. And Canada is run by China. The United States doesn't yet have the draconian socialized media. A lot of European countries don't yet have that strict socialized media. But China, I think, is the proving grounds. They started the QR code to even look at your bank account. They enabled the first group of androids or cyborgs in white suits. None of them took their hats off. China's the proving ground. Klaus Schwab said it's the model. So, yeah, he gave it away. That's where they try out the ideas. Social credits toward, you know, bank access or loan approval. A joint effort between Chinese Communist Party and the World Economic Forum. I think there's a lot of communication between the two. The United States and most of the European countries are involved with Davos, the World Economic Forum. I don't know if that's a sufficient answer, Jim, but we're never told their exact ties. we're never told much of anything because we are swarthy, unwashed plebeians operating in the shadow of fascists who've merged with Marxists.
Can you name any politicians in places of power that are not connected to the World Economic Forum?
Yeah, Merloni of Italy. I'm going to reserve my response to Western Europe and North America. I think there are a number of leaders in South America that are not connected, but they don't really make policy. They follow policy. Latin America has never led anything in the history of mankind. Pardon my French. Giorgina Meloni in Italy came out with a statement last September or so where she said that Davos was trying to destroy the family, and Davos was trying to impose their will and their policies, including medical health policies, and she objected. She has since taken one step back by removing Italy from the Belt and Road agenda, but I think that may not be as big an issue as some people tend to think. I have an opinion on that, and I'm trying to verify it. I don't think Italy is within the Davos crowd anymore, but there are some people in the Italian parliament who are.
Are stock markets continuing to climb a wall of worry?
I think stock markets are in the middle of a Wile E. Coyote moment. The basis of their valuation has disappeared. Interest rates are rising. Profitability is falling. Multiples are enormous. I don't call it climbing a wall of any kind. I call it more like a suspension. And not very optimistic about the stock market going forward unless they lower interest rates, reverse course, and open the spigots, open the floodgates, and a lot of that new money, funny money, jerky money will end up in the stock market and push things up.
Do you think we've seen tops in interest rates and inflation?
It's possible. I don't want to even get into the issue of whether price inflation is as it is reported. The known stated price inflation could get bifurcated soon. Domestically produced items could go down in price a little bit. It could be stable, but the imported items are going to go up in the United States from the fact that the United States doesn't have much to pay for any imports. I think there's going to be a very big problem in the U.S. ports as the Treasury bills are no longer accepted. That will mean shortages and higher prices. So we're likely to see a bifurcation where domestically produced items, you know, like eggs, they're on the downslide. It takes 26 weeks for a new chicken to become an egg-laying hen. So they're going to have to burn down poultry farms one after the other in order to maintain the shortages, because new poultry farms are coming and new little chicks are becoming adult hens. I'm expecting some big problems with the import supply. Canada might not have as many import strangulations as the United States. Mexico might not have as many strangulation points as the United States, because Canada is run by China and Mexico has very firm, clear allegiance with China. China owns the ports in Mexico, and China owns the entire Canada. They own the entire Canadian country and economy. China owns all of Canada. China runs all of Canada. So I don't see any import supply obstructions there. It's going to be interesting, though. I really think we might possibly someday see, two or three different measures for price inflation. Okay, let's move on. But interest rates, they could possibly reverse course soon. They're looking to see how much they can raise interest rates at the Fed in order to break things. They're going to continue to raise rates until they break things. Well, they started to raise rates, and they continued to raise last week the rates after evidence of breaking things. So we have what I consider to be, from one perspective, sabotage of the banks by continuing to raise rates after they started to break. But there's another side to it. They're trying to continue with the viability of Treasury bond issuance, and they need higher rates to do that. But from what I'm hearing, the pressure right now is on the primary dealers, because they're obligated by contract to pick up the bonds that are not purchased in the auction. And I think we might see some primary bond dealers be destroyed, banks who serve as primary bond dealers be destroyed. So they're likely soon to stop raising rates and say, you know, declare victory, do a victory lap while they've destroyed everything, and continue to rule like the fascists that they are.
Do gold and silver look like they could have topped for a sell in May and go away scenario?
That's utter absurd. Totally absurd. Absolutely absurd. Silver is stuck and looking for some kind of an impetus to go after 30, but gold is over 2,000 and steady, and a lot of countries are soon going to be trading in their treasury bonds for gold. So that statement is utterly absurd.
With higher interest rates and quantitative tightening, aka constriction of credit, how tough is it to borrow money now?
It's very tough, because it's not so much higher rates, and it could be quantitative tightening as a factor, but most of the big banks are insolvent, and that means that their liabilities and debts are bigger than their assets. They lie about their assets by not doing mark-to-market, so they're more insolvent than they claim, and a financial lending institution that is insolvent does not lend. So that's the big reason, and there's a whole lot more going on behind the scenes that I'll get to in the next couple questions.
Are commercial mortgage-backed securities a risk to the banks?
Yeah. The commercial real estate and commercial mortgages are each in trouble. The banks are insolvent. They will not or cannot roll over the loans. They're in big trouble. The empty office space is a problem with many cities. I saw a list of about 10 cities that have a rather substantial rise in office building vacancy. That is anathema for commercial space, both mortgages and standard operation of the property. The mortgage-backed bonds are in big trouble. The mortgage bonds several months ago went no bid, and they've been limping along. That's residential mortgage bonds. The commercial mortgage bonds are not much better.
If commercial real estate collapses, is it likely to take the housing market with it?
Yes. In fact, one could take the other. I don't really distinguish a great deal between residential and commercial. When there was the lockdown 3 years ago, we saw the mortgage market in big trouble because people couldn't pay their monthly bills, their monthly mortgage payments. Well, the same was true of office dwellers. They had trouble paying for their office rent. When people are down on income, they tend to be down on paying whatever bills are required for home or office or anything like that. So I think they're both in big, big trouble. I think we've got a very separate problem regarding commercial, because their mortgages are shorter term. They don't have 30-year commercial mortgages. They've got commercial loans that must be rolled over. Like, I don't know exactly. I mean, new companies might have a 5-year mortgage. More established might have a 7-year. A long-term relationship with a bank might have a 10-year mortgage. This is my understanding, and I'm trying to verify this. Someone told me that typically, an informed fellow told me that typically commercial mortgages are under 15 years. and much shorter if it's a new company like a startup. Well, what's happening right now is that the banks are insolvent and they're having difficulty in rolling over loans. So they're targeting properties and refusing to roll over the mortgage, and they're stealing the properties. And these are very big properties. They're stealing multi-million dollar properties by not rolling over the mortgages. The big banks are stealing big properties. They're not rolling over the mortgages. They're all in trouble. Most of the big banks are insolvent. In fact, the Wall Street banks are giant insolvent structures, and they're acquiring the smaller, the large regional banks, which themselves are insolvent. So what you have is giant zombies acquiring large and mid-sized zombies. They have something in common. They're insolvent. Because of that, they're not lending. And when they don't lend for a commercial mortgage rollover, they seize the property, so they're now turning predatory. I'll have more about that in the May Hattrick Letter newsletter.
There's an ongoing push for central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. Do you think the powers that be will have to allow cash to exist along CBDCs, or will cash just be banned?
I cannot see cash being banned. I've held this position for a good 8 or 10 years. I've gotten some criticism from people. The most notable was from a guy in Sweden who explained that cash was going away back, I think, around 2015 and 16 and 17. Well, okay, fine. Sweden is well along in going cashless, but the United States is not. There will be some countries that are stricter for cash usage, and there will be countries that are very lax in cash usage. My overall impression is that the cash permission is somewhat related to narcotics money laundering. A country that depends heavily in its banks, like the United States, for narcotics money, dirty drug money, evidence in the Silicon Valley Bank in late February, where $40 billion moved quickly for the Sinaleo cartel, and 2 days later, Silicon Valley Bank declared bankruptcy. Okay, cash is king in the underworld. Don't ever forget that. As for CBDCs existing alongside cash in a bank, I think if the big banks attempt to do forcible CBDCs in the United States and Canada, they're going to invite a disaster. They're going to invite some rather serious objections and responses. I don't know whether those responses will be violent, but in Canada, your population has endured quite a lot of fascist imposition without violence, to my surprise. I think if the banks are smart, they'll allow cash. They're going to offer a CBDC in the United States, and I don't think any foreign country is going to recognize or honor it. Not a single foreign country. Well, except, you know, the other Davos states like England and Belgium. The rest might not.
When governments change the definition of a recession, is it likely to cover up a depression?
Oh, absolutely. I believe the United States has been in a recession since 2004. That's 18 consecutive years. I think we entered a depression a couple of years ago with the lockdown. We've not gotten out of it. I would guess that the United States is in something like an 8 or 10% minus 8 or minus 10% recession. They're lying by over 10% on the consumer price index. Maybe they're only lying by 8%, but our economic growth is not 8%. Our economic growth, they struggle in their lie to describe it as either plus 1% or minus 1%, when really it's more like minus 10 or minus 14%. If they change the definition, sure, they're likely to cover up a depression, but they're also likely to cover up the recession. They're covering up everything. They've been lying for a long time. When I started the newsletter, Jim, it was 2004. I had much more of an economics emphasis in the newsletter back then. Remember, that was 19 years ago, 18 years ago. I focused a lot on three false statistics and the various impacts for falsifying consumer prices, the unemployment rate, and the economic growth rate. They're all falsified. And after 2001, in fact, it became policy that big banks and financial institutions were given permission to falsify financial statements for national security motive. And that was to cover up the fact that they're insolvent. That was to cover up the fact that they relied upon money laundering from the underworld for trafficking purposes. Okay, so yeah, you know, changing definition is kind of a minor point. How about even the definition of inflation? How about even the definition of unemployment? How about the way they calculate economic growth by using the falsified inflation figures? They even come up with a worse distorted series called the deflator. The deflator is even lower than the CPI. They're doing their dead level best to corrupt every single statistic in the U.S. financial industry. And one of the new statistics that I'm focusing on is unrealized portfolio losses for the big banks and the large regionals. Unrealized portfolio losses, because they're not marking to market. I'll give you just one example. A bank might have bought some negative interest rate German Bunds. That's their national bond. They call it the Bund. Well, those are pretty badly negative right now. But if a bank in New York bought a bunch of German Bunds, you know, to take one for the team, well, those might be down by 20%, but on the books they'll say par value, original book value, and they'll say we're going to hold it to maturity when it's down 20%. Okay, they might hold it to maturity if they last that long. So, you know, I don't really care too much about their definition of recession. I care about their accounting. I care about the Basel III adjustments, where gold will go to a tier one. I care about price inflation. I mean, the shadow government statistics was very helpful in my early years, and occasionally I show them as a display of the, like several, I think it was a year ago, year and a half ago, they said the CPI at shadow was about 18%, and in the United States, the government said it was more like 6. So 12% was the amount that they were lying by, roughly, on economic growth. So we were saying we had 2% growth. Well, they lied by 12, so they had minus 10% growth. It is that easy. It is roughly that easy. So I don't give a crap about definition of recession. Maybe they can declare that it's a recession only if it's minus 5% economic growth. You know, they're making fools of themselves. We're the witnesses. But the problem is that many of the witnesses are brainwashed or brain dead. Move on.
Is China likely in a recession or depression?
Yeah. They're also in, a couple of years ago, they were in a starvation sequence. People were jumping off balconies because they had no food and weren't permitted to leave the building. Okay, that's a proving ground for the Davos model. China has lost a good portion of the U.S. market. One just example, I bring it up all the time, plastic pipe. The Chinese were not permitted to send plastic pipe to the United States, so we don't import that. And the price went up 5, 6, 8 times. They're not shipping to a number of countries. They're in a squabble right now with Italy. China's in a gigantic contraction, and it has to do with foreign policy, but it also has to do with the Evergrande impact, which I believe was Lehman times three. In Lehman, we had a mortgage bond market crisis. In China, they have an Evergrande crisis, which extends to their entire property market and property development market and their real estate corporations. China's in big, big trouble, but I don't think they mind a whole lot. I mean, I'm going to say something naive. I don't think they mind a lot because they want to reduce their population by a couple hundred million. And their challenge is not so much to do that as to avoid a revolution. So that's why they're clamping down. on personal freedoms and movement and food. I have one client who said, Jim, she did a consult call with me a couple of weeks ago. She said, I've got friends in China who are stuck and they have to get allocated permission, like a quota for buying food, and certain rules have to be honored for movement. I mean, like leaving your home, like leaving the city. So they're a gigantic prison camp seeking to reduce their population and avoiding a revolution. Okay, I know it's a whole lot more complicated than that, but a lot of people don't know jack about China, so I'm just giving you a quick glimpse.
We'll have more with Jim Willie right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Willie. Jim, reparations suggested in California, would this be a way to stimulate the economy as most people would likely spend the money instead of saving or investing it?
Well, I think you're referring to the $1.2 million per black citizen in California. Is that correct?
Most likely, yes.
Yeah. It's not intended to stimulate the economy. But it might. I don't think people really need too much money to steal under $1,000 worth of product in Walmart, and I believe Target has closed down most of their stores. The goal, it's going to sound crazy to a lot of people, and I really do not care, because many people are uninformed. Your clientele, your followers are brighter than most, Jim, at House Street. But the objective in California is to destroy the economy and to drive the citizens out of the state. The objective in California is to destroy its economy and to drive its citizens out of the state. So when $1.2 million, if it ever happens, goes into the hands of every black person, they might invest something. They might buy cars. They might buy condominiums. Believe it or not, that does not buy too many houses. The average prices are quite high in California, so they might shy away from homes and go toward condominiums. Garages are selling for $700,000 in California. They might go on drug binges and buy cocaine and open up shop as a cocaine distributor. I regard it as a measure in California, Sacramento legislature, to really piss off the white citizens in the state so that they leave. I'll repeat this, and I won't really talk much more about California because most of their leaders are under bribery influence from the Chinese Communist Party. The objective is to take over the government. The objective is to take over the water supply. The objective is for the Chinese to capture slowly the food production region. The objective in California is to destroy the economy and drive the people out. And I have had client calls with about four or five citizens of the United States who left California. There is an exit tax for leaving California. I believe it's 40% of assets. It might be 20% of your assets. The objective is to destroy the state. It's the only state where it's not a felony to steal $900 worth of product out of a store. It's a misdemeanor. It's like jaywalking. It's like, you know, going through a stop sign in a residential area, stealing $900. The objective is to destroy the state. They're doing a great job at it. Let's face it. If I were trying to destroy the state, I could come up with a few more measures, but they're doing a great job of destroying the state.
Are 15-minute smart cities gaining traction?
I don't think so. I don't know of anybody who thinks it's a good idea. Even the normie morons, you know, the ones who take it in the arm, the ones who voted blue, the ones who didn't see any fraud with mail-in ballots, those normie morons they don't even talk much about the smart cities. So we have to watch the ongoing progress of sabotage of the environment and the countryside through rail derailments, railroad derailments. I actually had someone give me a pushback who said, Jim, you got 50 events since late January for train derailments and chemical spills, like with trucks and things like that. And he said to me that there's a derailment event in the United States every several weeks. And I said, yeah, well, I'm not talking about the ones where they derail and no problem, and then 24 hours later they're back on the track and hitched. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the ones that result in a fire, explosion, chemical spill, or something like that, that allows the Environmental Protection Agency to declare numerous square miles as uninhabitable, because that's the objective for populating the smart cities. Smart cities are basically a fascist kill zone. And I'm hoping that not too many conservative, republic-loving citizens occupy them. Some might be forced, but I don't see much traction in it. But it might get some more traction soon as people become dumber and more desperate.
Is the globalist cabal in panic mode?
I think yes. I think that many of the measures that we've seen in the last few months have been very destructive toward, you know, integrity of the republic. The Canadian censorship law, I think that was desperate, last ditch. They're looking to smash any kind of objection in a public manner. The train derailments, I believe, were a very desperate attempt to cause problems. And you know, the smart cities have gotten a lot of attention, but the distribution chain deserves more. The distribution system by rail, it deserves more attention. We may have some more shortages, not so much for, you know, the fake pandemic, but for distribution train lines that don't work anymore. Getting from A to B is more difficult in the country. Getting from producing zones to consuming zones might become more difficult. So the globalist cabal seems to me in panic mode, and I've got information that a lot of their bank accounts have been seized and gutted. So when the Biden show ordered Ukraine aid, whether it was for the country, the military, the war, or whatever, a lot of it was diverted, and that began last June. That was to replenish the elite bank accounts, because they were getting gutted, seized, and they lost a good deal of money laundering income through Ukraine. For those people who don't know much about Ukraine, it's the European massive hub for trafficking and money laundering. It's a failed state created by Hillary and Victoria Nuland and the security agency in a little country in the southeast corner of the Mediterranean.
Tucker Carlson plans to go to Twitter. Is the deep state losing control of mainstream news?
I think yes. I think, okay, you know, we can't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to read about the vice president being replaced at mainstream news organizations. That information is not available. That comes through leaks. That comes through high-level information sources. I learned, I think it was about 6 or 7 months ago, so, you know, like autumn last year, that CNN had a couple of vice presidents replaced. And I don't know the exact process, but I imagine it's for, you know, illegal activity, maybe after Saturday midnight, or it could be from direct bribery from China, could be from lying on the news, who knows? Don't really know. But I heard that two or three vice presidents at CNN were replaced. I heard that there were a few others that were replaced. Donald Trump has an interesting name for the Washington Post. He calls it the Washington Compost. I heard that some of their vice presidents were replaced. I believe the Tucker Carlson event was a flashpoint, aka seminal event, where Rupert Murdoch with his News Corp got trapped. And Tucker Carlson, there's a lot of opinions about who Tucker Carlson is. I'm not going to get into that now because I'm only beginning to hear various opinions. But in my opinion, Tucker Carlson decided with maybe some support in high places that it was time to break MSM News and their stranglehold. So he began talking about Ukraine, the lost war. He started talking about the pedophilia by elites. He started talking about the extreme problems in banks and a few other things, all rich topics. And he forced their hand to fire him. What Tucker Carlson might have actually done was intentionally ruin Fox News by reporting the truth and daring them to fire him. I've got scoop. I'm not alone, but I've heard that the ratings for Fox are down by over 60%, close to 70%. And I've got some other scoop that there is a group, a consortium, looking to buy Fox News right now. And I guarantee you it's at a very discounted price, and they're going to convert it into a truth network. So we might soon see CNN, which recently agreed to do a town hall meeting for Trump and got a lot of criticism by the normie liberal morons. Why would CNN do a Trump town meeting? Because they're at risk of going away. The MS News is in big, big trouble. I have remarked for the last few months that as their ratings went down, their ad revenue would go down, and it would have to be compensated by the managers of the Mockingbird agenda by means of money laundering from drugs. Okay, this is very complicated, very ugly, but so is everything ugly at the high levels of everything in the United States and Canada, with banks, medicine, politics, judges, media, you name it. Ugly beyond description. A fascist climax. So Tucker, I think, pinpricked the MSM balloon. Now he's talking about a Twitter account, possibly because he's got contractual obstructions from Fox. He's gotten offers from America One. Ooh, what's it called? One American News. He's got an offer from Newsmax. But if he goes with Twitter, that'll convince me that Elon Musk is long gone and some character is playing Elon Musk. I got that confirmed again last week. Elon Musk is gone. He's not above ground. So this is very interesting what's happening, because there's a climax event, Jim, regarding MSM News, and it's called the emergency broadcast. And we were getting kind of close to an event of that nature, and I think we will again.
Do pandemics, wars, and famines always seem to go together?
Well, the wars have been constant since we broke the gold standard in 71. United States has been at war just about every year. It's good for business. We actually had economists in Wall Street declare that war is good for business because of the Reconstruction. But that's a real fantasy argument, because wars prevent the seven-step trickle-down in the supply chain. And besides, war reparations, war reconstruction has been a main tool since Iraq in 2003, where the elites steal the money. So they don't produce economic activity. Disease, famine, war, it's the Malthusian, theory, the rule. How do you reduce population? War, disease, famine. And look at what the elites are doing. They cause wars. Look at what they're doing. They cause pandemics. Look at what they're doing. They obstruct water supply, and they buy farmland and turn it off. Okay, they are the Malthusian agents.
Has there been a genocide initiative in the works since the 90s?
Absolutely. Many of the elements for the mRNA, which stands for messenger RNA, ribonucleic acid, DNA is deoxyribonucleic acid, double helix. Many of the patents go back in dates like 10, 15, 20 years ago. One of the dirtiest secrets that I've learned in the last several months is that the U.S. military has patents for many of the components that went into the mRNA vaccines. This is a U.S. military project in the shadows, but there are a number of patents that date in the 2000 decade and some that date earlier. This, you know, if it wasn't, okay, I talk about patents, but when you say in the works, that's loosely speaking. There were many plans. Gates made comments in the 90s, the late 90s, about depopulation. The elites have been talking about an agenda and a project for 20 or 30 years. That's why I got into an argument with my father in March and April of 2020. I said, Dad, this is a fake pandemic. He said, how do you know? I said, because they've been talking about it for 20 years and you haven't been paying attention. Oh, Jim, that's pretty crazy. You have a lot of crazy theories. And I said, yeah, Dad, and many of them turn out to be correct forecasts in the following years, and you don't pay attention to that either. I'm sorry to say that I'm on a path right now recognizing that my father was fast asleep and a literary genius. Fast asleep on the national front and a scholar in literature. And you're just a boob, but a great guy, and I loved him dearly. The genocide in the works has been a topic for 30 years. The depopulation has been an elite topic, even in their conferences. Like, there's a late 90s or early 2000 eugenics conference at the United Nations, and a lot of denial that Kissinger actually said that. What he said was, we're basically going to have a genocide program where people will volunteer and load up the big pharma profits. They'll volunteer to commit suicide, and they'll load up big pharma earnings, patents. You can't put a billboard out and say, hey, look, please enter door A, B, and C for reducing the population. We need your cooperation. You need to fool the normies, the liberal retards, and the morons. And you also need to scare people who are easily frightened. I talk with numerous clients who say, Jim, it's amazing. I've got, you know, a number of relatives and they're vaccinated. They just got so scared. I said, well, when they get scared, do they ever decide to do some reading? No, they were just scared and they thought they'd get rid of their fear by taking the vaccine. Okay, you know, this is a Darwin call of the ignorant, of the stupid, and of the fearful, and more. There is a rules of engagement for Satanists, that their victims must volunteer. They must be given warning, and they must volunteer and step forward. Well, I paid attention to the information, and I decided not to step forward. But a lot of people dismiss the information as lunatic, like my brother, my father, my college roommate who died a month ago. Jim, you're crazy. I trust my doctor. I'm going to get maximum protection possible. So, well, sounds like you got your agent of death, Bruce. You're all set. You're not going to make it another year. Oh, Jim, you exaggerate. He did. He died 5 months after I talked to them last. He was what I call a New York Times moron. And his wife got vaccinated, and she just told me, I'm happy to be vaccinated, to have protection. And I said, well, you're maybe going to be happy to be with Bruce in a few months. You're an idiot just like Bruce, and you're a blue state moron who reads the New York Times. Good luck to you. I want no further contact. For me, it's an issue of removing them from contact. I don't want the annoyance. I don't want the nuisance. I don't want the aggravation. I don't want the conflict. I don't want contact. Let them go their way. It's a dead-end street, and there's a cemetery. It's the end of the road. Okay, this concept of genocide has been in the works for 30 years. So when it arrives, it's time to recognize it.
Do you think sleeper cells have been planted in Western nations?
I didn't think so until a couple of years ago when the open borders became a ridiculous concept. But yeah, right now in Texas, there are 80,000 people looking in that caravan to cross. Who made them promises? What's that all about? It's the United Nations. It's Davos. It's the Biden show. Come cross the border. We'll give you welfare. We'll give you health care. We'll give you education. And you got to vote Democrat. This is a takeover of our country from the ground roots up. And when I say ground root, I mean ground root as far as education, awareness, ability with English, ability to work effectively, and ability to assimilate. One of the most shocking pieces of information that I learned was about 3 or 4 years ago, a client in Maine told me that Lewiston, Maine had 10,000 Somalis from the Horn of Africa. 10,000 Somalis. I said, let me guess. They're all on welfare. They don't work. They don't do anything except maybe cause mischief, some robberies, some aggravated assaults and worse. He said, pretty much. So then I heard that it is approximately 50 million Americans now. I shouldn't say Americans. 50 million invaders have been occupying the country through open borders in the last 5-7 years. So the concept of creating sleeper cells for them would be very easy. It would just take organization. Let's move on.
In a recent speech, President Trump said, we're taking down the deep state military strategy. Would you take out the enemy from the bottom to the top or from the top to the bottom?
I heard way back in 2014 from The Voice that the objective was to take out the top and the bottom and leave the middle without leaders and without foot soldiers. Take out the bottom and take out the top. And he called me in 2016 or 17 to say that the 90% project was largely successful at more like 80%. They removed 80% of that cabal by taking out the top and taking out the bottom. I have since doubted the 80% figure because there are way too many deep state figures, even in the U.S. government. When people hear deep state, I think they're very confused. They don't know what it is. Deep state is unelected officials in the U.S. government and possibly the military as well, and maybe even in the judicial branch of the U.S. government. They're people who are not elected. They're people who are appointed. I'll give you just a couple of examples. Someone who works at the State Department, not the Secretary of State and not the Undersecretary of State, but maybe a couple levels down, and they do office work. They maintain functions of embassies, and they're not elected. And when a new administration comes in, they keep their job. They just have a new boss. Well, higher level people of that type are maintaining the system by getting in the way for election reform, getting in the way for, say, military aid, things like that. And this is the path that the nation has gone, thank you, thanks to Barack Obama. Barack Obama installed more deep state people than any president, any group of presidents combined, and they're all loyal to the United Nations. They're not loyal to the U.S. government or the Constitution. I think Trump is going to have a plan, and I don't know exactly what it is. It's going to be some kind of a test of their loyalty, because that's what's going on with military commanders of high rank in the U.S. military.
The Great Awakening since the day Donald Trump rode down the escalator in Trump Tower to announce his run for the presidency. What have we been awakened to?
Oh, the Great Awakening is the existence of the deep state. And I believe the entire Biden show is a demonstration of fascism. You know, if you were to ask even educated people, Jim, if you were to get 20 people in a room and ask them to put on a piece of paper a definition of fascism, I really doubt you'd get 4 out of the 20 that could do it. I could. Many subscribers to my newsletter could. I don't think my brother could. My father could not. I gave him a chance and he got flustered. Most people don't know what fascism is, so you need to see it. It's kind of like pornography. I love that one ruling and opinion given by a Supreme Court justice about, it must have been about 30 or 35 years ago. He said, pornography is difficult to define, but easy to recognize. It just goes over the edge. Well, what's the edge? Well, you can't define that either. the edge of normalcy, the edge of decency. Well, what's the edge of normalcy and decency in government that would exhibit fascism? Well, you can see it with, you know, searches that produce nothing on vaccine damage. You see it. You see it with, you know, banned accounts from Facebook regarding, you know, election fraud comments. You see it with censorship. That's recognizable. But it's difficult to recognize energy policy as being treasonous by the Biden show. They shut down the Colonial Pipeline. They started draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and directing it to China. These are acts of treason. The Censorship Act in Ottawa and Canada for your government, that's an act of, I don't know about treason, but it's a full display of fascism. Seizing bank accounts for people who contributed toward the trucker caravan, that's an act of fascism that can be recognized. Hard to define, easy to recognize. So Trump is involved with the Great Awakening, and I've got more and more information. Every month I get more and more information, but I don't wish to share it here.
We're hearing that artificial intelligence just scrapes the internet for answers. Could this end up being, in some cases, just garbage in, garbage out?
Not at all. I don't know where that come from. I've had a very brilliant colleague of mine examine the chat GPT. I say go put, because it's like go put it on paper, my question, GPT. He has done extensive questioning, layered questioning, and it's very impressive what it's all about. It does not just scrape the internet for answers. He has found that it is involved in some logical flow. And he challenged it. We worked together 3 or 4 weeks ago. We worked together to find out their limits on the censorship. So he asked chat, go put, did Fauci write your answers regarding the vaccine efficiency and effectiveness? And chat got a little upset at that. I don't care. And then he went deeper and found the limits. Are you a fascist AI tool? No. He said no. Chat said no and gave some reasons why. Anyone who thinks the AI tools are Mickey Mouse has not examined them at all. They're very impressive. They're so impressive. I got some information. I'm just going to share with you one thing. There was a guy who was a major, major figure in a West Coast high-tech company. And when Trump passed a new executive order regarding child abuse, that executive changed and went to a China office. And when he did, he said he was going to keep control of a Northeast company involved in cyborg technology. This is not the brains of AI. This is the mechanics of AI. And he boasted that the cyborgs would be able to do a backflip and land on their feet in less than 10 years, and that's exactly what they've done. AI is extremely impressive. The chat go put is extremely well done, and AI will be an extreme threat to low-grade jobs for humans.
You've been warning about experimental injection concerns since they were first announced. Are some people that partook in the experiment waking up and having an oh shit moment?
I think by the tens of millions, yes. They're having to deal with some inner conflict for denial. I believe the denial for having done harm to oneself by permitting the injection is about as powerful as the denial for an alcoholic. And I experienced that with Julie, the widow of my college roommate, Bruce. She's got denial. I heard it in a couple of forms. She said there's a lot of mistakes done by the left, a lot of mistakes by the right, a lot of mistakes by one political party, a lot of mistakes by the other. But I'm glad I've got the injection right after she said that the medical industry is a horror show. So that's pure denial by a smart person. I find, Jim, that the denial cuts across educational lines, gender lines, racial lines, and it's really quite a fascinating concept. People are induced to commit suicide in slow motion, and then they're encouraged to deny it all the way, including their deathbed. Including the deathbed. So, yeah, the oh shit moment. There's going to be a new industry for cleaning up the vaccine damage. It's going to be a couple parts at least. One will be cleaning the blood so that the clot agent is gone, and that's graphene and other things. But the second is going to be genetic repair, the gene therapy to reverse the damage. When I heard gene therapy way back 2 years ago, I thought, they're telling us it's destructive. It's negative gene therapy. They're going in and ripping out your immune system, antibody production. And that opens the door to cancer, by the way, for those who don't know that. Gene therapy is devastating in this form. So there's going to be gene therapy in a positive sense, and it's going to be really quite fascinating to watch. So the oh shit moment, yeah. Maybe Julie will have her oh shit moment, but she's rather proud. And she's deep blue. And I've accused her and Bruce of being socialist morons who couldn't come up with a single example of a successful socialist state. Yet they continue and continue and continue even to support Bernie Sanders, the banner holder of socialism.
There's an ongoing very high level of migration into Western countries. Should we be worried?
Yeah, you should close your borders. Since when is open borders a good idea? Well, it's good if you want to take one out of three children and send them into child trafficking tunnels. Yeah, it's great. You need to close your borders. Well, it's really good unless you want to load up state by state all these unassimilatable, ignorant people who don't speak English. Who wants that? You really want that in Terre Haute, Indiana? Who wants that? So by blurring the borders, they're going to blur our society and harm it. There are a lot of objectives for the open borders, and we've only touched on some of them. But one world government, one world religion, you know, it's all with the requirement of loose borders. I mean, people in Texas, they don't want all the Latinos coming through. They don't even know where they're coming from. I'm hearing that their starting point is Panama. They're being shipped to Panama and then mixed in with Latinos, and the caravan moves north.
What level of stupid do you think people need to achieve to not realize the climate change narrative is a hoax?
Pretty high level of stupid. I actually find that most people I talk to never really discuss the climate change nonsense. For instance, this is a real fact. I've done 520 consult calls in 3.5 years, and not one person has mentioned climate change as a topic. It's never come up in the conversation. It's been the vaccine. It's been response to the vaccine. It's been economic issues. It's been open borders. It's been the banks. The banks are the dominant theme in the last 12 months, more, 18 months. Not a single client has mentioned climate change. So apart from having a stupid requirement, a stupidity threshold, it's not on most people's radars. I think there's going to come a day when they do a conference like they did in Egypt several months ago, and it's going to become a roach motel. They all arrive on their jets, which are very anti-climate, and none of them leave. They all disappear.
Jim, where can people find out about and subscribe to read the Hat Trick Letter?
It's www.golden-jackass.com. It's a labor of love. It is a difficult job. I'm in the line of fire. I appreciate any and all help that I receive, whether it's prayers, kind messages, or financial support. I just finished the 19 years, so this is my beginning of the 20th year. I started this as a rather young, middle-aged guy, and now I'm a very spry and feisty elder, if you will. This one guy calls me the geezer in his emails. Yeah, okay, that's fine. So it's golden-jackass.com. I got the newsletter. I've got consult calls. I I actually fall to my knees once in a while when somebody hits the sponsor button for a big gift to keep me going, because being in the line of fire, I've taken quite a few shots. I keep going mainly because of the support, those who have a kind heart, those who see the political mission in addition to, you know, information source, and to Christians who, like me, follow the Lord Jesus, Yeshua. And I am grateful for the Lord's help. I have had more than a few. There are several examples of I am in need of help, and the next morning or the following morning, almost the same amount needed in a tough situation is provided from a gift. That is the Lord's hand. I recognize it. So it's the newsletter that is the main way to support my work. Sign up. You get your own personal login and download past reports. And I had a few people give me some criticism that I don't stress enough that it's a very inexpensive newsletter. It's $110 for 6 months. I've got a few competitors who are over $300 a year, and I'm much less than that. But I realize people are in a pinch for costs, so I don't change the price, and I have not for 13 years. So, golden-jackass.com, sign up, have a consult session, do a sponsored handout for a big lift, and I thank you all for your support. For all these years, it's been a very intriguing ride. I hope to do an autobiography someday, because I've really been through the ringer, and I've been through some wonderful experiences at the same time. So thanks for having me on, Jim.
Jim, thanks for being on the show.
Okay.
My guest has been Jim Willey, founder of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com.
Comments made on goldradio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. Goldradio.fm is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.